Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, one and all, to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. We are coming to you live, unrehearsed, and uncensored this Saturday evening, February 20th, from the confines of our studios here at AM 1380 WLRM Radio, going out all across the Mid-South Memphis, Tennessee area. And, of course, that's not all. You can pick us up on the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network via satellite and online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. That's our website. Or you can even get us on their website, libertynewsradio.com. Great first hour tonight with Keith Alexander, but I am, as I said at the top of the show, particularly excited about tonight's first guest. We were talking in passing during the first hour about the American Third Position. This is, as I've written on our blog this week, America's newest and most promising political party, and I'm proud to serve a role in its development. This is a political party, ladies and gentlemen, that we have long been waiting for. It doesn't fall into the phony conservative versus liberal rigged wrestling match that Keith and I were commentating on during the first hour, the rigged match that the GOP and the Democrats are running in collaboration, of course, with Fox News, CNN, MSNBC. This is a political party that takes principled stands based on what's best for our people, not whatever Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh happen to be talking about. As you know, Dr. Kevin McDonald, a good friend of ours, is a director of the American Third Position, and Bill Johnson, an international corporate attorney, is its chairman, and we are very honored and privileged to have Bill Johnson as our guest for the entire second hour to give you all the news that is news about the American Third Position. Bill, welcome to the program. It's great to have you on.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm so pleased to be here.
It's been a long time coming, and we are excited that you can make your debut appearance on this radio program tonight. I know you've really been working the airwaves since this party formed at the very beginning of January. A lot of outreach and an exceptional website. We're going to get you to plug that many times. But if folks haven't heard about the American Third Position, let's just say that they haven't. They haven't missed too much in terms of they can't beat themselves up over the fact that they haven't joined years ago, because this is a new party as of, what, January the 2nd?
Yes, early January is when we had the first kickoff and we got started. We had our initial meeting where we formed the organization, got the board of directors going, and then we began moving out from there.
And from there, you have accomplished a lot. We're going to be touching on some of those accomplishments from the beginning of January. Right now we're just in the mid-February, but already a lot has been done. But first of all, let's start at the very beginning. Why was it determined that a party like this was needed? What is the American Third Position all about?
Well, the American Third Position, it's neither left nor right, Republican or Democrat, conservative or liberal. It basically takes a third position. It is directed towards all of the major issues today. We have thoughtful positions on the environment, on immigration, on the monetary policies. Just we looked at every issue affecting Americans today, and we took our position on based upon what we thought was right, not based upon the influences from the various pulls and tugs of the groups that you mentioned earlier, the various news media, the various political parties today. And so our position is not influenced by these two wings of American government, the left and the right. So we are truly a third position for people to come to.
I don't want to employ any cliches here, but I think if people had to have a two-word example of what this party embodies, you might would say America First. It certainly stands up for the founding stock of the American experiment, and it's a party that they can belong to, that they know upon joining they're not going to be sold out. And you mentioned some of the platform planks there, Bill, or some of your position statements, and I got to say, whoever wrote the copy on those position statements on your website did an absolutely phenomenal job. So well written, so detailed, and I'm a guy that's hard to please, and I couldn't find anything listed there in the mission that I disagreed with. And that was one of the major reasons that I determined it was more than worth my time to be a part of this glorious endeavor. It's so exciting that there is, once again, a political party that offers recourse for the dispossessed majority. I guess it would be a rhetorical question to ask you why such a political party is needed. Aren't the people within the Tea Party and the Republican wing of the duopoly in Washington, aren't they looking out for our interests, Bill?
Well, there's a lot of good to be found in the Tea Party movement. In fact, when Ron Paul was running for president, I was head of the meetup groups here in California for him, and Ron Paul actually came to our house for a fundraiser, and I met him over a number of occasions. And much of what the Tea Party and the Ron Paul movement has is good, but there are certain areas when they are deficient. I guess case in point, after the Ron Paul movement played out for the campaign in the primary, the Tea Baggers, they wanted me to run for an office, and I said, well, I couldn't run for a partisan office because I switched to be a Republican just to vote for Ron Paul, so I left the Democratic Party and I wasn't a Republican long enough. So I said, well, the only thing I can run for is a nonpartisan position. So they said, sure, they want me to run. So I ran for judge, Superior Court judge in Los Angeles County, and Ron Paul endorsed me. And then when it came out that I took a position that was promoting the interests of white Americans, Ron Paul withdrew his endorsement of me. So although much of what the Ron Paul movement and the Tea Party movement has is good, sometimes their views don't correspond with what the American Third Position has. I mean, in fact, the very first Tea Party organization they had one in Los Angeles, and I helped organize that. So I'm still keyed in with those people, and there is a measure of support within that organization.
Well, and that's good. And, you know, we've talked about, not to sound hypocritical, obviously a lot of the people who make up the Tea Party movement are people that I think would be great candidates for membership within the American Third Position. Unfortunately, I think that they are well on the road to being infiltrated by the neoconservative establishment. And as great as Ron Paul is, I think, and Bill, I would dare say you would agree, if a movement or an organization isn't explicitly pro-white, then that's a movement or an organization that perhaps isn't worth your time. There are a lot of people out there that can blow the right kind of smoke. And I'm not saying Ron Paul is just a carnival barker. I voted for him and was honored to have done so.
Yes.
But
I believe that his positions, he keeps his positions according to the dictates of his conscience. And he doesn't take positions that he doesn't truly believe in. So, he is a very good man, but he does not support the issues that are key to maintaining the survival of the white race, many of them in any event. So we have to look further. We had to set up a party that would be for the interests of the majority, or at least what is the majority now, but is fast moving to a minority status.
But still professionally polished to the extent that you could conceivably see the American Third Position representing itself in Congress. I mean, because that's the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal of any political party is to run candidates and win elections. If you're not doing that, then you're not serving your function as a political party. And so you don't want a lot of wild-eyed people running around claiming to represent your party with a lot of radical talk.
Oh, that's true. And also, we want to show that reasoned and good men can support the positions of identity, sovereignty, and liberty that the American Third Position embraces.
I love those three words, and I think I love them in ascending order: liberty, sovereignty, identity. This is the American Third Position, and folks are going to begin hearing ads for the American Third Position playing on this radio network and on this program. And I tell you, folks, we're going to be exploring this political party with its chairman, our guest tonight, Bill Johnson, for the remainder of this hour. But the more you hear about it, the more I want to encourage you to check out their website. In fact, do that during this next commercial break. Go ahead and log on and start reading through some of the platform. Bill, what's that website?
American3P.org, and 3 is the Arabic numeral 3.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that is American, the number 3, the letter P, as in party, dot, or as in position in this case, dot .org, American3P.org, American, the number 3, the letter P.org. Bill Johnson is the chairman of the American Third Position. He's going to remain as our guest.
Don't go away.
As we continue right after this.
Well, guys, we'll be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please don't understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody. The Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We're here on the Liberty News radio network, and our guest this hour is Bill Johnson, the chairman of the American Third Position, America's most promising political party, and the only political party that I would encourage you to consider joining. In fact, I don't only encourage you to do that, I heartily endorse it. I do want to make mention of the fact that Winston Smith has finally rolled into the studios tonight. A little car trouble, apparently, on Winston's end. Winston, how are you, buddy? Good to have you. Better late than never.
I'm very well, thank you, James. And unlike you, I do not encourage people to look into the American Third Position Party. I demand that people look into the American Third Position Party. This is something about which I can get excited about. And James, as you recall, I have been very reluctant to endorse any candidate or any party or movement, but this is one, the American Third Position Party, that I can heartily endorse. And Mr. Johnson, as I told you during the break, consider me at your disposal, sir. I will do anything that I can, any way I can contribute. Just let me know what it is.
All right, Winston, I think that we generally do not use the word party. Although we are a political party, we go by the American Third Position. Because even the term party has a lot of negative baggage that we don't want to be associated with. Because, you know, the Republican Party, for example, is a party, and they have sullied that word. So we leave that word off.
I understand. Thank you very much for correcting me. Sure.
Well, nevertheless, and that does make sense, although it to be clear, the American Third Position is, in fact, a political party as opposed to a political action committee or just another membership-type organization that seeks to go out there and make changes on the streets. The goal and the sole purpose of the American Third Position is to elect candidates to office, run candidates, and win. And to that effect, that is, in fact, my next question. As we cover during the first segment this hour with Bill Johnson, what the American Third Position is all about, why it is needed, and some of their signature issues, although you can read more about their platform in detail at American3P.org. In fact, we have the link to the American Third Position featured prominently on our homepage at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Just you'll find it. Just go there. But, Bill, what is the action plan to grow the American Third Position and make that all-important positive impact at the ballot box?
Most all political parties are an amalgamation of separate state entities. Each state has its own ballot access laws, and some of them are convoluted and some of them are relatively simple. But the concept traditionally has been that each state sets up its own independent organization, and then they're kind of tied together with a national party. We've set up this organization so that there is one set of bylaws, one set of constitution and operating documents for all 50 states. It is one organization, and we plan on taking it to each of the 50 states. And, of course, because the laws differ in each state, we're going to have to make adjustments in many of the states so it complies with that particular state's regulation, but it'll still be one organization. And we will set up state leaders patterned after the, you know, the national leadership, and they will be in charge of that state and designate who's going to be their local leaders and move forward locally. But there will be oversight from the national headquarters. This makes it streamlined, more centrally organized, and we think that maybe it can be more effective. The first thing that we're going to do is qualify in the states most easily achievable, the states that have the easiest ballot access laws. For example, Florida has one. They have a lot of congressional districts, yet to be qualified in that state is not a difficult task, and we have people in Florida that are doing that. And we have filed with certain states to be identified as a political party. We have not, like, for example, we've filed in California, which does not have an easy ballot qualification regulations. And so even though we're moving forward in that state as well, although that's not an easy state to achieve it.
Well, that sounds like you've certainly thought it through, and I can certainly attest to the fact that some of these ballot access laws, as it does vary from state to state, are so convoluted, you would have to have a corporate attorney as chairman of such a party. And thankfully, they've got one in you. But running candidates, what kind of candidates are you looking for? What qualities must a person possess in order to be seriously considered as a candidate to represent the American third position?
Well, we want sincere, honest people who can embrace the platform and the theme of the American third position. Just like, James, as you read the platform and you liked it, I read the platform and I liked it. I mean, I didn't write a word on that website. I didn't write any of their planks. I'm helping draft a lot of the legal documents, but people generally don't read those. But, you know, Kevin McDonald was impressed by them. You were impressed by them. I was impressed by them. We want people that can read these views and accept them and push forward. Now, it is important to note that under the U.S. Constitution, you can run for federal office, Congress, Senate, even if you are not a citizen of that particular state. Take Florida, for example. There are many congressional districts in that state, and it's easy to gain ballot qualification there. We plan on, in the upcoming election, have all candidates for the American third position run for every congressional district in that state, even if they don't live in the state of Florida. Now, in the South, you say, well, that's carpetbagging. I remember when that happened with the Republican Party in the 1860s. But nevertheless, that's what we're going to begin doing. We're going to fill up the states that we get ballot access for so that we'll have people running. And some people will say, well, you know, I live in Maine, but I'll run in Florida, and so, you know, we'll have them run in that jurisdiction, even though they don't reside there. They'll just have to become an inhabitant at the time of the election.
Well, that's interesting. Obviously, that's something that I'd never even considered. I don't know exactly how the voters would take that, but I tell you, it doesn't matter, because obviously many of these states aren't running people within their boundaries that represent the people of that state. So you got to do what you got to do in order to.
The point I want to make is that if we have people who are willing to support us, we will have places where they can run for legitimate office under the banner of the American third position. And, you know, this may be a stopgap measure or an initial approach where we have, for lack of a better word, carpetbaggers running out of state. If the momentum continues, that will just be a short-term proposal, short-term operation.
Well, you do have a vision. You have a vision to grow. You have a vision to get the platform and the name American Third Position recognized. And that's certainly better than a lot of the organizations claiming to represent our movement. They don't do anything. They sit behind computers all day. Winston, we have less than a minute remaining, and I certainly have many more questions for Bill Johnson, as I know you do too. But as quickly as you can, tell us what impressed you about the party upon review of their website.
Oh, the platform, the policies, the positions. It's exactly what I wanted to see in a political movement. I examined the Tea Party movement as it started gaining steam, and I saw exactly where that was going. That movement is being slowly but surely absorbed into the Republican Party, and that movement will soon be irrelevant because of that. I don't think such a thing will ever happen with the American Third Position movement or party. I hate to use the word party now, since I've been duly corrected.
Just in the name, we don't use it.
Well, sit tight, gentlemen. Okay. We're going to pick
don't
it up right after this.
Political cesspool, guys. We'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta
get out of this place. We're very fortunate in our capacity as hosts of this radio program to have been given or to have been able to build a platform in which we can promote some of the leading America First organizations. And there's not a lot of them out there, but what few there are, we use this forum as a way to get them some recognition. But as Winston also mentioned, there are very few that we have the time to join and actively participate in. I think I am a dues-paying member or an active member in about three or four organizations above and beyond this radio program. The American Third Position is one of these organizations. And you might be thinking to yourself, okay, it sounds good. I know you've given it your endorsement. I'm looking at the website. Their platform reads like, my goodness, it blows me away. But I also know that whenever you have a legitimate organization achieve a certain level of power, it always gets derailed. It's either attacked and it falls apart there, or they buy out the leadership, and that's what I think Joe McCutchen, who was an original founding member of the Minutemen Project, that is what he believes happened with Jim Gilchrist and Chris Simcox. You start to achieve, and you just sell out. Or if they're not able to destroy you by attacks and the character defamations, if they're not able to get you to sell out, they'll try to infiltrate you from within and subvert the movement by getting a Tower of Babel to come within the ranks and just keep you spinning your wheels all the time. So Bill Johnson, our guest right now, the chairman of the American Third Position, have you given any thought to how you will stave off infiltration and subversion of the American Third Position?
Sure. Well, first of all, we must always promote principles that are sound and moral and right and obey the law. And if we always do that, then we will have less to fear from infiltration from government organizations. And I do know, I mean, I am not a paranoid individual, but I do know that in my history of involvement in our movement, I have seen a number of cases where there have been infiltration from informants paid for by the government. So if we always take reasoned, thoughtful, moral positions and actions and only advocate those, then we don't have to worry so much about government intervention, which in reality is a major concern for people within our movement. But there we do have to be also concerned about people who want to join that have ulterior motives.
Right.
And the way that our organizational structure is set up is that the chief executive officer is the president, and he stays behind the scenes. He, of course, listens to the board of directors, of which you're one and I'm one. But he will make decisions according to what is right and proper. And each state leaders will be doing the same thing, but each state leader is subject to the chief executive officer's decisions. And so you really can't change the organization by getting a lot of infiltrators to take over a group or something like that, because it's so structured as to be, the decisions can be overrun by the president. I know this is kind of convoluted and hard to explain, but it is structured that way so that it was designed so as not to be easily infiltrated.
Well, I think just hearing people, I think just having people hear you make that simple statement will alleviate some of their concerns, if in fact they have them. Because I know that's something that I always look at, and I wasn't talking necessarily about the government infiltration, although that's always a possibility if you get to an extreme level of power and influence. But I was talking more about, you know, people joining that don't necessarily agree with the American third position, but want to join in order to be disruptive. This is
right.
Their sole motivating factor.
I do want to bring to the attention. 25 years ago, I ran for Congress for Dick Cheney's seat in Wyoming on kind of a racial nationalist platform, and the government did infiltrate my campaign. So I know that even organizations that are not extremely powerful do come under the radar, and even more so now, this post 9/11 government fear of individual activities and foreign terrorism, there's even a larger chance of that type of infiltration.
Well, and it's good.
I think.
Go ahead, Winston. Yeah, I know you have a laundry list to talk about.
I think the way you stop infiltration is to deny membership to anybody whose name is suffixed with Steen or Berg or whose name is Cohen or something like that.
Well, you need to realize that because this is a political party, we don't have control over who joins the party. You get your voter registration from the DMV or from the Secretary of State or the Department of Elections in the county, and then you designate, I am a member of the American Third Position. So anybody who is qualified to vote, a U.S. citizen over the age of 18 and not a felon, or if you're a felon, you've had your rights restored, you can become a member of the American Third Position, but then the state leaders determine who are going to be in the leadership position, as do the president determines who's going to be the state leaders. And so even though everybody joins, in theory, leadership is much more vetted by upper management.
So you don't see any Steens or Bergs or Cohens in leadership?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
even though
a lot of those names have been appropriated in this country, there's a lot of German Steens out there.
Yes.
Well, Winston, I want to bring you into the conversation a little bit more. Of course, we're going to round it all out by giving folks information about how they can join and play a constructive role in the development of the American Third Position. That is the most important thing. We're trying to get this is sort of an introductory interview with Chairman Bill Johnson, and certainly we're going to have him on much more, or many more times, I should say. We've already begun actively promoting this party on our own website, and certainly ads are going to be running on this program. And above and beyond that, we joined the party. I have the pleasure of serving as a member of the board of directors. But we want to let it be known to people, or make it known to people, that this American Third Position does exist. We're giving out the website information. But Winston, I know you probably have some questions for Bill Johnson.
I do. Bill, it seems that the Tea Party movement is slowly but surely being absorbed into the Republican Party. Even while it's growing in membership and influence, from where is the American Third Position going to draw members, and how are we going to compete with this, with the way the Tea Party is picking up members? It seems that, Orwell said that whatever party is in control seems invincible at the time, and I know that the policies of the American Third Position are similar to
right.
those of the Tea Party, but how are we going to differentiate ourselves and get members?
Okay. I think you also need to realize that the Tea Party movement is not a new organization. It has been a lot of its components have been around for decades, and they're coming together initially under the banner of Ron Paul's campaign. Whereas he'd been pushing his platform for at least two decades or more, so they had a big head start over what we're doing. The initial basis of our upstart organization is the racial nationalist movement. And so it has been more in disarray and smaller in scope for the last 20 years. So there's not as large a base for us to draw on as the Tea Party members have. But that is our initial base. That's where it originally started from, and we're expanding from there. And the name of the organization is truly a neutral name. And one of the reasons why we came up with that name or use the name is because people, it doesn't carry any negative baggage with it, yet it is more distinctive than using words like you know, the Freedom Party or something like that. Mm-hmm. So the everyday rank-and-file citizen should, as the situation becomes more and more dire, will look for solutions that you can't find in the Republicans, the Democrats, or the Tea Party movement, and we think that we can draw up on them. Case in point, you know, my wife, I've been married for like 28 years or so, and my wife and I think a lot alike, but not all of her sisters and brothers think like that, or at least did not. But now they've come around, and they're just your standard upper middle class, upper class white people that have now finally come around to my wife and my view.
Bill, sorry to interrupt you. We do have to take a commercial break. We're going to let you continue that story when we return right after these words from our sponsors.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We got to get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
If I didn't tell her, I didn't. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
This hour is once again flying by. We have just one more segment, a few more minutes with Bill Johnson, chairman of the American Third Position. Liberty, sovereignty, identity, that is the American Third Position, and we encourage you to go and read more about the organization at American3P.org. And Bill, right before that last commercial break, we were talking about folks we could draw upon to populate the American Third Position as members, as people to support the candidates that run, perhaps even as people to run as candidates themselves. The Tea Party movement obviously looks as though they would have a core base of people that would be fundamentally in agreement with the positions of A3P. And certainly in order to get a membership built to the point where they will be able to provide the support needed to win elections, you're going to have to get folks that aren't necessarily involved with our movement as such, but people who are perhaps even Republicans. And that was what you were touching on right before that break. How do we get these people who fundamentally agree with us but perhaps think that the Republican Party is still representing them, how do you get them educated and into the fold?
Well, we just need to get our name out there. And we need to show that good people are supporting sound principles, and they will stop being so timid. And even now, rank-and-file America is becoming less and less timid with regard to the issues of race, and they're more and more concerned with it. And as they become more aware, there's only one place for them to turn, and that is to our party.
Winston, I don't guess you could disagree with that, could you?
Not one bit. Part of the problem is, though, that our opponents, you know, when it comes to time to debate them, they approach us with the preconception and the preconception that we, as their opponents, can be neither honest nor intelligent. But Bill, what I wanted to ask you about what you brought up earlier, the racial component. Now, anytime you have any organization, any party, any movement that represents the needs, represents the issues of white Americans, you are inevitably, and as sure as the sun rises in the east, you're going to be accused of being a racist. How do we deal with that?
Well, what you mentioned, how the opponent's always attacking us, that's already happened in a small way here in Southern California. The Orange County Weekly, I guess, had a big, long, three-day exposition regarding our particular movement, and it was very, very critical. In my practice, I represent primarily Japanese corporations and their international transactions. I speak Japanese, and so that's how I built my practice. And I got a call from someone who's Japanese, and he's married to a white woman, and he says, "Oh, my wife wanted me to give you a call because she read the article. It was just a terrible article there, and she's, you know, and she says, 'Oh, are we going to have to go back to Japan?'" He was talking to me. He says, "And how could you be the president of this organization?" And so I explained our position a little bit, and then later on, a few days later, he called me back up to give me some more work to show that everything is okay, and he could accept our positions. And this is one that would be more. This family would be more deeply affected than a lot of people. And I mentioned to my wife, and she said, "Oh, that is the most flattering thing that's ever happened." And I said, "Well, why is that?" He says, "Because they think that we're going to succeed. They think that we're successful." And so it was kind of a nice way of looking at it. But see, the thing is, if you take your position, our positions are reasonable and moral, and everybody can understand them and accept them. And the dirty words that people throw against us will not have effect if we are honest and forthright, and people will see that, and people will embrace our viewpoint.
Well, I think certainly that's been the case here with this radio program. We've been called, it goes without saying that the double standard's in play here. It's not racist or bigoted for the NAACP to represent only black people. It's not even racist for Israel to operate as an apartheid state, but it is racist if anyone who is European American wants to stand up and represent, first and foremost, their own interests. But
yes.
The more we've been attacked, the more we've been able to grow, because we have kept our nose clean, so to speak, and we've tried to conduct ourselves as gentlemen. And certainly that is the model that the American Third Position has adopted as its own. And it's another reason that I'm proud to be a part of such an organization. But it doesn't really surprise me, Bill, the story you relayed about your Japanese acquaintance. If anyone understands the benefits of ethnocentricity, it is the Japanese.
Yes, but then, of course, they followed along the line, the Western mindset from the last 30 years, just like every other group. So they're not as ethnocentric as they used to be. However, one thing that I do want to that slipped my mind. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that happens a lot. That's why I always have pen and paper in hand as I'm listening to an interview evolve, because inevitably you're gonna forget one of those little salient points you want to make. But let me ask you this. I want to be sure to get this in there before we run out of time, and you never have enough time on commercial broadcast radio. But people are listening to this interview. Hopefully by this point they are intrigued to the point where they would consider becoming a member, or at least learning more. We're going to give out that website again. But let's just say people are ready to come on. They're ready to come on board. They're ready to join up with me and you, Bill, and Winston, and the other acquaintances and friends that we have that are signing on to the American Third Position. How do you become a member?
Okay, well, you log on to the website, and then you, which is www.american3p.org, and then there are easy click mechanisms where you can join the organization. Then once you join, we do want to enlist you more than just being a member. We want you to be a supporter, an activist, and help even run the state organizations, the county organizations, the local organizations, and get more people involved. If we all act as missionaries, we'll be successful.
Very rarely, ladies and gentlemen, do you have the opportunity to join and serve in a good, decent, upstanding organization that has the potential to be very influential. But even fewer times in life will you be given the opportunity to serve in such an organization and get involved at the ground level of it. You will have an opportunity to be a founding member of the American Third Position. Again, as we said earlier in the program, this is a political party that came into being only this year, back in January, and already they have received a great deal of press. They are growing at a steady rate and doing things the right way. So if you want to be a part of that, you can be a part of it from its very inception. And that, to me, is another intrigue about all this. It's totally pure. And you'll have the opportunity to make sure that it remains pure and righteous and accomplishes everything that it can and realizes its full potential. Winston, we're running out of time with this hour. A final word from you on the American Third Position.
I'm excited about it. I'm proud to be a part of it. And I encourage all Cesspool listeners to go to the website, www.american3p.org. Look at the policies. Think long and hard about joining. We need you. This is an opportunity that we may not have. Again, I'm not trying to fear-monger or anything like that, but we need to do this while we can. I think that in the near future, opposition will be outlawed, and or at least it'll be more difficult to mount opposition because the two major parties are finding themselves under attack. They're losing members. People are starting to abandon them if they should. And you never know the full fury of an opponent until you try to fight it. And there's been a fight.
James, may I make a final comment?
Yes, because I see Winston's audio is faltering there. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, okay. Change comes not in years and not in decades, but in scores of years. When I was a young kid, a young teenager, the hip movement was strong, and I don't think there's been a change, dramatic change since then until now, yet we've moved in this one direction, and I've been involved in the white nationalist movement for 30 years, and now we are on the cusp of change that will alter the course of the direction of our nation and the world. And whether we do it or another organization do it, there will be a change, and we'll start to preserve our people again.
Well, I do believe that the potential is there for change, but it is up to us to do our duty to ensure that it happens. And no one's going to do the job unless you do it yourself. Everyone should be involved if they're concerned about our issues. We need representation in the media. We need representation in government. We need representation in academia. And we need a political party that will stand up and fight for our people. And certainly the American Third Position is that party. It is the only one. It is the only one out there right now that has a chance to fulfill its destiny and serve as a voice for us at the ballot box. So Bill Johnson, chairman of the American Third Position, thank you so much for taking an hour out of your weekend to join us this evening. We're going to be talking much more about the American Third Position as the weeks and months roll on.
Thank you very much.
Bill Johnson, everybody, check him out at American3P.org. The American Third Position. And we've got much more in store for you tonight. Coming up in the next hour, author Andy Nowicki is going to be on to talk about his latest book. It's a guest and an interview that has Winston Smith very excited. And so we're going to hear what these two gentlemen can bring to the table during tonight's third and final hour of the Political Cesspool Radio program. We'll be back with that right after this.